There's a masking agent. He claims he was given the medication by a doctor in the Dominican Republic. Sixth inning right now, Padres on top of the Rockies, 2-0. Eric Hosmer, a two-run shot. Dodgers have the Marlins tonight. Justin Turner makes his season debut, returning from a wrist injury. In golf, PGA Tour player Lucas Glover's wife was arrested on domestic violence charges Saturday, with reports saying that she attacked her husband and his mother after Glover played at TPC Sawgrass. I'm Dan Beyer.
When severe weather cuts across Lorain and Medina counties, depend on the radio station on the edge of the storm. Your official weather station, locally owned and locally responsive. AM 930 WEOL.
This is Bulls High on Weather on AM 930. Overnight, clearing skies, low near 55. Sunshine Wednesday, high of 75.
It's cloudy. It's 67.
It's Bulls Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
After 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon coming your way from the studios of AM 930 WEOL. Sharing the spotlight with Mr. Matt Douglas, who comes your way from the Orthopedic Associates newsroom, updating us on all the local news, including some high school tournament softball scores as well.
I try.
You succeed, my friend.
Yes.
Others try, you succeed.
One game going on right now features Elyria Catholic and Independence. It is 7-2 in favor of Independence. Those two teams are through five innings of play, so two more innings left for the Panthers of Elyria Catholic to get back in that.
See if they can't come from behind and make some magic happen to punch their ticket into the district championship. And if they make it, we'll have it for you at 3:30 on Thursday afternoon. Time to head back to the hotline. We've been speaking with a lot of Lorain Sports Hall of Fame inductees. The ceremony is this Saturday. It takes place May 19th at German's Villa. We love German's Villa.
We do enjoy it.
Cliff and company do a wonderful job there. So if you're headed down to the ceremony, we know you'll eat well and you'll have a wonderful time. On the line with us right now, we've got Steve Stola, who is one of the inductees. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. My pleasure.
Well, Steve, you had a pretty interesting career. You were extraordinarily successful in your high school playing days into your college playing days. And reading up on you a little bit earlier, you went on to have a very nice coaching career as well. And, I mean, what stands out to me, Steve, you were all over the map. You were a wrestling coach. You were a football coach. You were a swimming coach as well. How does all of that work?
I was only a swimming coach because when I got to Sandusky, they told me they had another job for me, and I told them I didn't want another job. I was an assistant football coach and also a teacher. They said they were going to name me head swimming coach, and I told them I'd never seen a swim meet. They said I was a lifeguard. I told them that doesn't relate to me, but they told me they'd give me $1,000 extra. So in 1971 or two, that sounded like a lot of money. I said I would do it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. See, how does one pick that up, and how do you adjust? Because I would imagine walking into an environment like that, I mean, given all the success you've had, I'm sure you found a way to deal with it, but I would imagine that would be at least a little bit overwhelming, no?
Well, I didn't get nervous and probably until about October when football season was getting ready to end, and November 1st when swimming was starting. So I figured I knew how to do freestyle because every lifeguard knows how to swim. And I would read up and try to figure out how to coach swimming. And I read Doc Councilman's book. He was the Indiana University swim coach, and he had like 8 straight NCAA titles and Mark Stitz and Neighbors. So I read his book, and I became it taught me how to coach. And after about a week, I realized I didn't know how to do freestyle either, so I read that part, and I did very well.
That's incredible. It really is incredible. I didn't even think about the crossover between football and swimming as well, because that most definitely enters into the equation when you're an assistant football coach on top of your swimming coach duties. There's a lot of crossover there, and that certainly creates its own set of challenges. We're going to bring it back around to your coaching career in just a moment, but of course, you attended Admiral King 1962, to 1966, and you were very, very good in wrestling and in football. Well, what are some of your fondest memories of your playing days in both of those sports at Admiral King?
I wasn't very, very good at wrestling. I wrestled heavyweight, and I weighed 185, and I only wrestled one person out of 10 meets my senior year that was under 250. So I would not – I think I was 4-4-2. You know, anybody that has coached or played realizes that you are a sum of the people around you. And as a coach, I realized the reason I had some accolades as a player is because I had kids like Ron Pekosic and Ross Pizzotto at defensive tackles, and Dave Prieto and Ron Szlawski at linebacker. And I think our defensive ends were Paul Bieber and Freddie Lozano, and I think Dennis Diso might have played some. We had good defensive backs, Jaime Serrano, and a team makes somebody look better because no one guy can look that good.
Steve Stola's joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. He's being inducted into the Lorain Sports Hall of Fame this Saturday at German's Villa. Steve, reading your bio here, I see something else that really stands out. You've had a wonderful career in education, going on to being a superintendent, but I see something that stands out. You weren't exactly enamored with college originally. Take us through the early stages of your college career. What is it about college that you weren't necessarily enamored with, and how did that all change?
I never really applied myself in school. I was a pretty good student just because school wasn't that hard. I told my father I didn't want to go to college because I thought I would be way behind all my friends who everybody went to work at the steel plant in Lorain back in the 60s. I think there were some 20-some thousand employees. I never thought about, as a college graduate, I might be a foreman or a supervisor. So I went to work at the steel plant, and luck would have it, they would put me in the open hearth. And after about a month there, I started calling all the colleges and say, I'm not doing this for the rest of my life, which was the best motivator I've ever in the world. I'm very fortunate. Went to Baldwin Wallace because all the bigger colleges that had talked to me had already offered their scholarships. I think it was in early July that I decided to go to BW. And I picked BW because it was close to my father and close to my girlfriend. And my girlfriend is 49 years later and still my wife, so I'm very fortunate.
Yes, and congratulations are in order because you're coming up on that 50th wedding anniversary, aren't you?
Yeah, she keeps reminding me. And even though she's from Lorain High, she's still a keeper.
I love the cheap little dig. You had to throw that in there. When you've been married 50 years, you're allowed to do that. There are certain things I think you can get away with, and you know you can get away with certain things, right?
That's because she's not in the immediate area. She'll be there on Saturday, so I probably won't say that.
That's right. So hopefully she's not listening to the show right now, because if she is, you're probably in trouble when you hang up with us. Again, go ahead, Steve.
We're in our 14th house, and we've been married 49 years, and we've been here 14 years. I retired as superintendent of Alliance, and she told me she didn't care if I worked anymore, but she didn't want to move. So I've had a couple superintendent's jobs after that, but only close enough to drive. So we were here 14, 15 years, and we were in Bucyrus for 9. So the other 12 houses, we averaged about 2-point-something a year. So I've been very fortunate she didn't throw me out when I told her it was time to go again.
Talk about some of those challenges as well, because you made so many stops along the way, as you detailed. You know, Bucyrus, Wentford, where you were able to totally transform the program there as well. We talked about your time at Sandusky as well. And then, of course, you spent some time at Portsmouth. I mean, just talk about the challenges of going from one area to the next.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I couldn't understand. At Sandusky and Maslin, I worked for 4 different coaches in 7 years, and they were excellent coaches, and I realized that it wasn't so much the X's and O's, it was the organization. And all assistant coaches know everything. And then when I became a head coach, I learned a lot more. And, you know, when I was, I got to Bucyrus Wentford, and the last coach I worked for was Mike Currents at Maslin, and he ran the run and shoot. And I learned very quickly that the run and shoot only works if you have a great fullback that can always block the end, and the quarterback can outrun the backside end. And we were, I think, 0-4 and scored 6 points and gave up like 50 my first four games. So I revamped everything. And I told you, swimming taught me how to coach. Well, being a head coach at Winford taught me how to be a football coach. And I put everything into my offense that I hated to work on as a defensive player and coach, which was motion, unbalanced, misdirection, counters, and reverses. And I also thought about football, and everybody, I was a left guard, and everybody seemed to put your strong defensive players on the left side of the line and your strong offensive players on the right side of the line. So I did it the opposite. I put all my strong offensive players on the left side, and when I had a formation that looked like we were running to the right, I countered or reversed back, and we were very successful. And in retrospect, in my life, I was coach of the year at two different schools. And if I had known college coaches were making millions, I might have not went active duty military, even though I'm doing pretty well.
Sure, obviously. Steve, I was curious, what did you prefer? You had a successful playing career at Admiral King at Baldwin-Wallace. Obviously, you had a successful coaching career. Did you prefer one aspect to the other, or did you just really enjoy both?
I think the most satisfying thing I've ever done in my life has been coaching high school football. I haven't coached really since 1989, 1990, and 91 at Ohio U, and I still get quite a few emails and Facebook mentions and letters from kids that I coached. It's different when you take a kid that's 14 and you work for 4 years with them, and you leave them as a young man. And there's probably the most cherished thing when kids tell me I was the most influential person in their life. Mm-hmm. I never have any military officers, any teachers, any principals call me and say I was the most influential person in their life. God help them if I was, but I relish that. And you got to realize, when I went to Winford, they had football for 12 years and had six different coaches. And one of the coaches was there 3 years, so that means one of the coaches was only there 1 year. And only one coach had ever won more than three games in a year. So, and I think the best record that they had was 10-17-1 for this coach that had been there 3 years. So I think that when I left, they had football for 20 years, had eight winning seasons, and I coached seven of them. And I'd probably still be there if I didn't get an argument with the superintendent. And I think Winford's been a power. At one time, I read in the early 2000s where they had 67 straight regular season wins. So they went almost 7 years. I taught them that they could win. And when I got to Portsmouth, they were 1-9 the year before I got there. And they said the coach quit because they said they got into a league that was too tough. And my third year, I was in the playoffs again. So I think I know football, maybe not anymore, but I knew football quite a bit for 25 or 27 years, however long I was in it. And I don't know. I don't have a relished moment. I'm very fortunate that I've had a great wife that has supported me, and I've had great surrounding characters, both players and other coaches. Mm-hmm. No head coach is good without great assistant coaches. So, I've loved my National Guard career also. So I've been very fortunate. Not too many people. I told my father that I got Legion of Merit, and he was astounded because I actually, that's the highest non-combat award you can get, and I have two of them. My mother died when I was four. My sister kind of embarrassed me into going out for football when I was in the fifth grade. We were driving around on bicycles by St. John's School, and a bunch of kids were going in, and I asked what they were doing. They said they were going to play football on the eighth grade team, and I said, when I get older, I'm going to play. And she said, are you afraid? So I went in, and the coach was named Red DeLuciano, and he says, what position you want to go off for? And I said football. And I ended up starting on a eighth grade team as a fifth grader. We were horrible, but I got to play. And by the time I got to Admiral King, I was a 115-pound monster. So I remember when I was I had Coach Misko as first tackle I ever made at in college was in high school was against Lorain High, and we were playing Lorain, and it was actually the first time Admiral King ever lost to him. And Coach Misko came to me and right before the game and said, "I'm going to put you on the kickoff team." And probably the greatest athlete that I've ever been around, high school, college, anywhere, was Kenny Kohmeyer. And I think he was All-State in football and basketball, maybe track, maybe baseball, and he went to college on a golf scholarship. And as luck would have it, I was slow enough to go down the field where he was sidestepping two guys, and I tackled him. And back then, George Daniel was filled with 8,000 people. I could hear the people going, ooh. And maybe about 10 minutes later, our starting left guard, Doug Krause, got his shoulder dislocated and his leg broke on one play. And Misko called me and said, "Stolen." I said, "Coach, I'm a right guard." He said, "You're a left guard now." And I went in there, and there was a kid named John Sopizio, was a mountain, about 260. And I was about 170. And luckily, I could cut him every play because I was scared to death, and everybody thought I was a good player. I was just trying to survive. So.
Resourceful, right? Yeah. Very resourceful. Yeah, resourcefulness is a way of surviving, no question about that. Steve, this is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun catching up and taking a look at your career. Congratulations on being inducted into the Lorain Sports Hall of Fame, and have some fun at that ceremony on Saturday.
Oh, I plan on it. And I remember before my senior year, I don't know if I get a chance to mention this, but there was a player for Lorain High named Luke Casella, and he told me before the game that they were going to beat us, and I told him that you don't have a chance, and he said he would bet a jersey. Now, if I'd have lost, there's no way he'd have my jersey, but I have the jersey from Lorain High still, and I'm going to give it back to the AD if he's there, because I've always felt bad that, you know, we won, and but, you know, this is a very proud moment for me, and I wish my father was alive to see this, because he was a diehard Lorain fan. So I appreciate you calling me, and I'm very thankful and honored to the committee, whoever chose me, and also to Bill Sturgill, who nominated me.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, again, congratulations, and thank you again for joining us.
Oh, thanks much for calling. It's been my pleasure, truly.
Thank you very much, Steve. Again, Steve Stola going into the Lorain Sports Hall of Fame this Saturday. Ceremony takes place at German's Villa. Should be a great time. We've had a lot of fun speaking to the inductees for this year's class. Some outstanding personalities, no question about that. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. In just a minute, we're going to send it back over to the one and only Mr. Matt Douglas. He'll give you a local news update from the Orthopedic Associates newsroom. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
When sports injuries, broken bones, back, knee, and hip pain, or hand injuries affect your family, make the right call. Orthopedic Associates, the West Side's most trusted independent practice, cares for every age, every bone and joint need, and now offers evening appointments to fit your busy lifestyle. Orthopedic Associates doesn't charge expensive facilities.